Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with a heart of flesh as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
A couple of years ago when we were in Israel and I was speaking at a congress in which the Christians from all over the world were seeking to demonstrate to Israel our support of them as a people, I received a letter from one of the rabbis in Jerusalem. And the letter was a rebuke for my being there at that Congress showing support for the nation of Israel. He said, "You have no right being here, for Israel has no right to be existing as a nation." This same rabbi had sent a letter to the Jordanian king to annex Mi'asharim into Jordan because they wanted nothing to do with the modern state of Israel. They said, "Israel has no right being a state. And you as a minister have no right being here supporting the nation of Israel." Well, I had been witnessing to these guides for quite some time, and they do know the scripture quite well. And I showed them the letter and I said, "Look what one of your rabbis sent me." And they read the letter and they were horrified because they appreciate the fact that I love Israel and have been supporting Israel. And they said, "Don't pay any attention to that, Chuck. They're a bunch of religious nuts. They're radicals, you know. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just religious radicals. Don't pay any attention to that." I said, "But they're rabbis." "That doesn't make any difference. They're nuts, you know. Just don't pay any attention to them." And I said, "Have you ever stopped to think that those rabbis that rejected Jesus from being the Messiah were perhaps just like them? Some religious fanatics, and that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, but these religious fanatics rejected him, and here you are 2,000 years later, in spite of all of the evidence, still following the religious nuts of those days." They didn't have any answer. But surely, anyone looking at the evidence of prophecy and of the life of Jesus Christ must conclude that if Jesus wasn't the Messiah, there never will be a Messiah. It would be impossible for any man to come along today and prove that he was of the lineage of David. No one has his genealogy and can trace it back to David any longer. So, God is going to change their hearts, though. This stony heart is going to be turned to a heart of flesh. You know, one thing about the Jewish people is that they are they're a dynamic people. They're very alive. They love to sing. They love to show their feelings in dancing and in singing. And quite often, over there, the bus drivers and the guides, they'll get together and they'll sit at a table and they'll start singing their Jewish, typically Jewish songs. And they really get into it. I mean, it's the, you know, hiya and the whole thing, you know, and the dancing, and they get up and they start dancing around and singing. They really get into it, and it's a lot of fun because they are such a dynamic people. They're exciting to be around. Oh, I can hardly wait till they get turned on to Jesus Christ. With all of that excitement and all of that expression that they have when they really discover the true Messiah. What a glorious day when the heart of stone is replaced. God does a heart transplant. and he puts in a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. You see, this is the thing they had failed to do, and that's why the judgment was coming. That they will keep my ordinances and do them, that they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walks after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Now at this point, these cherubims, representing the glory of God and the presence of God that was once there in the temple, but was lifted from the temple out to the porch, from the porch to the east gate. Now he watches as the Spirit of God is removed, even from the east gate of the temple to the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them, above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city, the Mount of Olives. And afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God back unto Chaldea, back to Babylon, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake to them of the captivity, all of the things that the Lord had shown me. So he was taken by the Spirit, went through these interesting experiences, and then brought back and shared with these people that were around him there the vision that God did give to him. Now, it is interesting, the glory of the Lord, the last place there on the east, on the mount of the east of Jerusalem. It was on this same mountain that Jesus ascended into glory. It was on this same mountain that Jesus came in his entry to Jerusalem as the King, as the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, "Behold, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, but he is lowly, sitting on the colt, the foal of an ass." And it is upon this same mount that Jesus will return. As Zechariah said, "And he shall set his foot in that day on the Mount of Olives, and it will split in the middle and all." And right there, where he saw the glory of the Lord departing from the mountain there on the east, there is where the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ will come. And again, as he comes into Jerusalem, the glory of God's presence once more returning to the land, and the beautiful restoration of God and the glorious kingdom of God when it comes. Chapter 12, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and they do not see. They have ears to hear, and they do not hear, for they are a rebellious house." Now you remember Isaiah said the same thing, having eyes to see, they see not, ears to hear, they hear not, lest at any time they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and be saved. Jeremiah accused them of the same thing. You don't see, you don't hear. David said, "They that are worshiping the idols have become likened to the idols, which cannot see, which cannot move, which cannot hear." And so Jesus said, "Well saith Isaiah the prophet concerning this generation, having eyes to see, they will not see, ears to hear, they will not hear." Now, the Lord is saying you're in a rebellious house. The interesting thing is that as the Jews look back upon their fathers and upon their history, they always do it with extremely great pride. They really honor their fathers. They honor the dead. They honor their heritage. And that's where Stephen got into trouble. For as Stephen was standing before the Sanhedrin and he was rehearsing their history to them, telling them all that God had done, relating to them the illustrious history of their fathers, he finally said, "Which of the prophets of God did not your fathers kill?" You know, you'd say, "Oh, our fathers, so wonderful." Hey, they killed every prophet God sent to them. And now you are even worse than they are because you've killed the one that they all prophesied concerning. That was when they got so angry, they began to gnash their teeth. They grabbed rocks and began to throw them at him, and they stoned him to death. Paul the Apostle was right there holding their coats, encouraging them on. Now, here is God saying to Ezekiel, look, you're dwelling in the midst of a rebellious people. They have eyes, but they will not see, ears, but they will not hear, for they're rebellious. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing. Prepare your stuff for moving, and move by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight, that they will consider, though even though they are a rebellious house. Now, they're rebelling. They're thinking that they're going to go back right away from this captivity. They've listened to the false prophets. But you just move your stuff from one place to another. You know, just pack up your duds, pack your suitcases, and just move around with your suitcases. Because maybe they will hear, even though they are rebellious. Then you shall bring forth your stuff by day in their sight, the stuff as though you're moving, and you shall go forth even in their sight as they did go forth into captivity. Now dig a hole through the wall in their sight and carry your stuff out by this hole in the wall that you dig. And in their sight, bear your stuff on your shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. And cover your face so that you can't see the ground. For I have set you for a sign to the house of Israel. Now, this is going to be a little illustrated message, Ezekiel, that you're going to carry to the house of Israel. Pack your suitcases, dig a hole in the wall, and crawl out with your suitcase, carry them on your shoulder, and just walk around from one place to another. Move out from your house. And so I did as I was commanded. And I brought forth my stuff by day, the stuff for captivity. Even I digged through the wall with my hands and brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it on my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto you, what are you doing? And that was, of course, the purpose, to create the question. Doing this, you know, he wasn't saying anything, covered his face and, you know, carrying his stuff around after having dug the hole through the wall. And he said, what in the world are you doing? So you go and say to them, thus saith Jehovah God, or the Lord God, Adonai, this burden concerning the prince in Jerusalem and the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, and like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. Now, what you've seen me do is what's happening to the princes back in Jerusalem. They are going to dig a hole in the wall, and they're going to try to escape with their stuff. And the prince that would be Zedekiah that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. And they shall dig through the wall to carry out their stuff. And he shall cover his face that he not see the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Now, an interesting prophecy concerning Zedekiah the king. He is going to, in the evening twilight hours, dig a hole through the wall and try to escape. But he's going to get caught in the snare, in the net, and he is going to be brought to Babylon, but he won't see it. We have the record of the scriptures that Zedekiah one night tried to escape from Jerusalem, from the siege of the Babylonian army, and he got as far as the plains down near Jericho, where the Chaldeans caught up with him and captured him, and they took him to Nebuchadnezzar that was at Riblah, and Nebuchadnezzar there took his sons who tried to escape with him, and he killed them in the eyes as Zedekiah was watching, and then he put out Zedekiah's eyes. And he was taken to Babylon. And so, as Ezekiel predicted, so it happened. He came to Babylon, but he never saw Babylon because his eyes were put out. Again, God's amazing prophetic word. As God speaks of events and those servants of God speak of events, which it would be impossible to do with such accuracy unless they spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, "And I will scatter toward every wind all of that are about him to help him and all of the bands, the armies, and I will draw out a sword after them, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword and from the famine and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whether they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord." God again promised to leave a few of them, but they're going to be slain, most of them. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink your water with trembling and with carefulness." In other words, just drink a little, measure your swallows. Drink it with carefulness and shake as you eat your bread, you know, and drink your water, you know, like you're frightened. "And say unto the people of the land," you know, these prophets must have been extremely colorful people. But God is seeking to get the attention of the people. Now, they won't listen to God anymore. So God has these prophets do these colorful things to draw the attention of the people. Now, what's Ezekiel doing now? Look at the way he's drinking his water and eating his bread, you know. What's he got up his sleeve this time? And they become curious as they see these bizarre kind of actions. But all planned of God in order to get the attention so he can still speak. Now that to me is amazing. God still desires to give the message though they're not listening anymore. But he still wants them to receive the message. Long after a person has closed his heart to God, closed his ear to God, God continues to speak in different ways. If you won't listen directly, then God will speak to you subtly through the things around your life. Circumstances, events, and all. But God will get his message across one way or the other. "Now say to the people," as you're eating and drinking your water and eating your bread this way, "say to the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness." There's going to be a tremendous famine. "They'll drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all of them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth?" This is what they were going around saying, you know, not in our time. The days are prolonged, every vision fails. You know, you've heard that for a long time. What do you mean, you know, the Lord is coming? What do you mean? We're getting close to the end. The days are prolonged. We're going to be here for another 1,000 years. Life is going to go on. Man is going to continue. What do you mean we're getting close to the end? That's what they were saying in Jerusalem at this time. Destruction was right on them. It was days away, and yet the proverb was, the days are prolonged, every vision fails. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. As Peter said, in the last days, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers have fallen asleep, everything continues as they were from the beginning. But Peter said, the day of the Lord will come. And God is saying to Ezekiel, this proverb that they're using, tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. They'll no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, not in the days of your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or whatever, but in your days will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that he sees is a long time off, for many days to come. Not going to happen for a long time. And he prophesies of the times that are way off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And within a year it was.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 11 through 12 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord enrich you in all good things in Christ Jesus. May he fill you with the knowledge of his love and his grace. And may you walk in fellowship with him through the week. And may the Lord continue his work in your life as he draws you unto himself. God bless you. And God strengthen you. And keep you ever in his love and in his will. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a flash drive of audio Bible studies by Kay Smith, titled A Collection of Cherished Messages. Just listen to what others are saying.
Kay Smith changed my life. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. And through her counsel and mentoring, I fell in love with him in a deeper way.
When I first heard Kay, I was driving in my car. I was so moved that it brought me to tears because I needed to repent. That moment impacted my life to be a better mom and who I am today.
Renew your strength, please. I beg, I beseech, I entreat, and if there's any other word, I do that too. Get in his word. Make it more than your necessary food every day.
Kay Smith has a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus. To order this flash drive with over 90 audio messages by Kay Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.